So this morning, I'm going to start our time off by giving you a quick financial update and on where we are as a church. And then this morning, we're going to talk about what it means for us to practice the spiritual rhythm of generosity. So at One Life Church, this is something that you should know, and hopefully you know this if you've been around here for any time at all, but transparency is a priority when it comes to our finances and the way that we spend our money as a church family. With that being said, I'm going to take a few moments just to be really, really transparent and honest with you in hopes that you will see our current financial reality and also that you will be moved to help fill the gap that we are experiencing. I got to go back a few months to give you a full picture, but back in October, since October, our monthly income as a church has decreased by approximately $6,500 per month. This change is due to a couple things. It's due to the combination of some families that moved to other cities in response to God's call in their life, and some of our collective partners relocating to new office spaces or to new cities. I want to make it really, really clear that all of these changes, that have happened since October are positive, and we are so grateful for the work that God continues to do in these families and these organizations. However, as a result, our monthly numbers have significantly taken a dip. In addition to this, our savings accounts have been depleted. If we continue going in the hole by $5,000 per month, we only have about 3 months of savings remaining. Although we hoped that this would change, our January financial report shows that the situation has not improved. If our offering numbers don't increase in the next 90 days, then we're going to need to make some significant cuts to our ministry budget. This would impact our community outreach efforts, it would impact our current staff team, and it would impact our vital programs that we have going on here at One Life. Now, we understand that messages like this can cause some concern. If you've been here for a while, it can cause some concern. If you're just been here a few weeks or showed up today, you're like, what in the world is happening? Financial challenges can create a sense of anxiousness. But we want to assure you that God is not finished with One Life Church. He has always provided exactly what we need, when we need it, and we trust that he is going to do that again. In fact, let me tell you a story of how he's done that. Just this past week, in the midst of our board of overseers having conversations about our finances, God filled 3 of our office spaces in the collective that were empty. This equals about $1,750 a month. Look at God, right? Look at God. There are many, many, many beautiful years ahead for us as a church family. And this moment that we're walking through is an opportunity for each of us to invest in the future of our church together. If you have your phone, I want to encourage you to take it out for me. And I want you to go to onelifechurch.tv, onelifechurch.tv. And at the top right-hand corner, it says menu. And if you'll click menu, and then you'll see, well, maybe, click menu, and then you'll see Sermon Hub. Click Sermon Hub, and then today's sermon, you'll see View Media. And if you'll click that, all the notes for today's sermon are right there. And I want to give that to you because today's sermon is really important, and it's important that you'll have the information in front of you so that you can continue the conversation after our time together. So, onelifechurch.tv, menu, Sermon Hub, View Media, and you'll see all of the notes for today's sermon. Today, I'm actually going to add an amendment to the things that you will find here at One Life Church. Jess Patton, one of our overseers, joked with me before service. She said, "Do you need to sign an executive order to do this?" And I haven't signed anything, but as I was praying this week and as I was studying for this teaching, I realized that this statement should be on that wall in our lobby. And it's this: At One Life, you will find that true fulfillment is found in giving rather than receiving. True fulfillment is found in giving rather than receiving. This is true of this church. Let me tell you how. 80% of the people that call this place home serve in a ministry team. That is insane. In most places, 20% of the people do 80% of the work. Here, 80% of the work is done by the people. And that is incredible. And that is an illustration, an example of the generosity of this place. And it illustrates this truth, that fulfillment actually comes when you are giving yourself away rather than consuming and taking. In Acts chapter 20, the Apostle Paul is speaking to the leadership of the church in a town called Ephesus. And in verse 35, Paul says this to these leaders. He said, "You should remember the words of the Lord Jesus, who said, 'It is more blessed to give than to receive.'" It is more blessed to give than to receive. Now, many throughout history have agreed that the most accurate way that you can measure a person's spiritual formation is by looking at their bank account and how they practice the spiritual rhythm of generosity. So sages, rabbis, theologians throughout history have agreed that if you want to see the spiritual growth of a person, if you want to know your spiritual growth, look at your bank account and how you spend your money, and look at how you practice the spiritual rhythm of generosity. 14 years ago this spring, Nathan Evans, one of our overseers, and I were leading a church of college students at UNC Charlotte. And that spring, our lives were changing in really big ways. Up to that point, we were living on, and this is to be generous, a shoestring budget. I actually found it a couple months ago, and I was shocked myself at what we were living on. But 14 years ago, our lives were changing. Emily, Nathan's wife, was pregnant with their first son, Grady. And my wife, Nicole, was pregnant with our second child, Madeline. And we needed our budget to expand. And so Nathan and I sat down with our shoestring budget, and we started to pray through the numbers, and we started to discuss the numbers. We got really honest with each other, saying, "This is what your family needs, and this is what my family needs. And what does that mean for our budget?" And what we came to was that our budget needed to expand by around $6,000 a month. Now, for us, all of our funds came from outside the ministry. We were raising our money from individuals, churches, organizations all over the world. And so this was a really big number. And to add on, we needed that number by that fall. So we took this to our board, and our board naturally was shocked. And they said, "We don't know how this is possible. We're not sure how this is going to happen." And through that conversation, one of the board members said something to the effect of, "We're not sure how this is going to happen, but we're going to trust that God is going to provide and God is going to do what he does." Fast forward to the summer, and Nathan and I hit the road. We were raising money like crazy. We were working our tails off to provide for our families, but we were still short as August was coming. And I can still remember the phone call that Nathan got from one of his financial partners. And she called to tell Nathan that she was going to send a gift of over $20,000 to our ministry. I could tell story after story after story of the ways that I have experienced the love and the provision of God through the generosity of God's people. John Mark Comer said it like this. He said, "When we give, we become channels for God's love to flow through us to others." I have experienced that to be true for well over 20 years in full-time ministry. I have seen the way that God can work through the radical generosity of his church. And I want this church to be marked by that same radical generosity. When people look at One Life Church, I want them to see the fruits of our radical generosity. Going back to the beginning of this series, I gave you kind of a picture of you being at a gas station and someone pulling up behind you and seeing that magnet, that One Life magnet on your car. And I imagine a time whenever they came up to you and asked, tell me about this church. And you said, that's a bunch of radically generous people. Our church is radically generous. Now, we need a definition for generosity so we're all on the same page. What is biblical generosity? Well, here's a working definition. It's a willingness to share whatever one has. Say it a different way, it's to live open-handed with everything that God has given you. So this is our definition of generosity. It's a willingness to share whatever you have, and it's to live open-handed with everything that God has given you. Now today, we're going to get really specific. We're going to talk about being generous with our money. Now we can be generous with all different parts of us. We can be generous with our time, with our gifts, with our energy, and so much more. And all of those things are wonderful and great. But today, we're going to talk specifically about being generous with the money that God has given us. The first question that I want to tackle is this. Where does this kind of generosity as followers of Jesus, where does this generosity with our money come from? Well, as followers of Jesus, we are generous because in doing so, we reflect and represent our God who is himself generous. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he... That's right. That he gave. He is radically generous. God, because of his love for you, was willing to share himself, all of himself, with you so that you would know him and follow him. So this radical generosity that we're talking about today, it flows from a deep connection with a radically generous God. As followers of Jesus, generosity, it's a way of life. It's not just something that we do on a Sunday or something that we do through a website for a church. It's who we are in Christ. Because of the generosity of God, we have been made generous in and through Christ, whom God gave. So this radical generosity that we're talking about, it flows from our connection with God, and it flows from our new identity in Christ as the beloved of Christ. Here's the other question that I want to wrestle with. What does this type of generosity with our money do to us? What does it do to us? Well, as followers of Jesus, generosity is one of the ways that we are continuously transformed into the likeness of Jesus. Generosity forms our hearts. It's one of the ways that God molds us and shapes our hearts to be more like Jesus. Paul says this in Deuteronomy chapter 15 to God's people. He says, if there are any poor Israelites in your towns when you arrive in the land the Lord your God is giving you, do not be hard-hearted or tight-fisted toward them. Instead, be generous and lend them whatever they need. Now notice that Moses is encouraging the people of God to practice radical generosity in light of God's generosity. He says, God has given this land to you, therefore you will be generous. Just as you have been transformed by this generosity, then that is what's going to happen in your heart. That's what happens through generosity. When we are generous, when we live open-handed, it actually changes our heart. Another way to describe this is through the word resistance. Generosity is the way that we resist a hard heart or a tight fist. All of this to say, as followers of Jesus, as apprentices of Jesus, generosity is not optional. It is not optional. As apprentices of Jesus, who are connected to Jesus, who are found in Christ, we will be generous. If we are being transformed by Christ, we will in turn live with open hands and be generous. I'm going to give you just a couple minutes. I'm going to take a breath. And I'm going to give you a couple minutes to have a conversation with those around you. And we're going to do this a couple times as we continue on. But here's the question I want you to talk about. When you hear that generosity is not optional for an apprentice of Jesus, what emotion wells up inside of you? And would you currently consider yourself a generous person? You've got 3 minutes. Ready, set, go. All right. So on Sunday mornings, we say something in One Life, and that is that when we gather together on Sunday mornings, we are practicing a group of spiritual rhythms together in hopes that we will practice those in our everyday life. And generosity is one of those spiritual rhythms that we practice together by giving ourselves away on Sunday mornings in hopes that we will practice it in our everyday life. It's a spiritual rhythm like singing together, studying God's word together, praying for one another, spiritual conversations, Sabbath, times of silence, hospitality, and so many more. And like all of those other spiritual rhythms, generosity is a spiritual act of training our bodies, training our minds and our hearts to be more and more like Jesus. I would argue that human beings are not naturally generous. But when we allow God to do a work in us through Christ and His Holy Spirit that dwells in us, it is a training. These spiritual rhythms are a training that make us more and more and more like Jesus. It's just like going to the gym or starting a Couch to Five. It's a training. And if you think about this, if you've ever gone to the gym for the first time or if you've ever gotten ready for a race, you know that the only way to be successful is if you have a plan, right? If you don't have a plan and you go to the gym, you're going to be one of those that you're on your phone more than you're doing any workouts, okay? But you got to have a plan. So to live a generous life requires a plan. And during our time, the rest of our time together, I want to give you a plan. I want to give you a few things that will help you become more generous with your finances. These are all in the Sermon Hub notes. Here they are. Number one, in order to become a more generous person with your finances, you need a spending plan. The other word that we like to use is budget, but that word is just so blah. So I like spending plan. It's more active, okay? So in order to be more generous with our finances, we need a spending plan. In a world that is driven by consumerism and materialism, we can get our paycheck on Friday, and before we know it, it's gone. That's right, Ian. It's gone. In a world where things are so expensive and inflation feels overwhelming, can I get an amen? We can get our paycheck, and before we know it, it's gone. For many of us, many times, we have no idea where our money went. And in that moment, what has happened is we have become enslaved to our money. Rather than making our money do what we need it to do, rather than telling our money what it will do for us, we have become enslaved to our money. Jesus says this about making a plan in Luke chapter 14. He says, "Who would begin construction of a building without first calculating the cost to see if there is enough money to finish it? Otherwise, you might complete only the foundation before running out of money, and then everyone would laugh at you. They would say, 'There's the person who started that building and couldn't afford to finish it.'" What Jesus is saying is, you got to have a plan. And in order to be a generous person with your finances, you need a plan. So here's your first piece of homework this week. This week, I want to challenge you to make a spending plan. If you've never done this, it can feel overwhelming. It can feel too big for you. It might feel scary because you don't want to see where your money is going. So what I want to offer you is if you feel overwhelmed at the thought of making a spending plan, we have some wonderful people here at One Life that would love to walk alongside of you. They are full of grace and they are full of love. And they understand that this is a very sensitive subject. So we have people like Nathan, one of our overseers, Paige and her husband Christian. Paige is one of our overseers. We have people like Daniel. You can come talk to me. We have people in our church that would love to sit down with you this week, take you out to coffee, take you out for a lunch, and just start working our way through creating a spending plan. Now, if you're sitting there and you're thinking, I've got a spending plan, my challenge to you would be, when's the last time you updated it? Because for a lot of us, it can go months where we don't update it. This happened to me this year, where I look back and I put the date at the top of our spending plan, the last time that I updated it, and it had been 8 months. A lot changed in 8 months. And so I needed to make some adjustments to that spending plan. So, first piece of homework, make a spending plan. The second thing that you'll need to become more generous with your finances is to start with generosity. Start with generosity. So for Nicole and I, if I showed you our spending plan, at the top, you will find the money that we make. You'll find how much we make. And then the next thing, the first expense that you find on our spending plan is our tithe. It's what we give to this church and what we give to other ministries that we support. So that comes before all other expenses. And that is a spiritual practice for me, because it reminds me that it all comes from God, it is all provided by God, and it all belongs to God. Now, I will name that starting with generosity feels risky. It feels risky because you can look at it and you can say, there's that number that I'm gonna give away. What happens if, right? A guy named John Wimber, he said this, that faith is spelled R-I-S-K. Taking that risk by starting with generosity, what it does is it expands our trust in God, that He will give us exactly what we need when we need it. There's a story in Mark chapter 12 and starting in verse 41, and it goes like this. That Jesus sat down near the collection box in the temple, and He watched as the crowds dropped in their money. Many rich people put in large amounts. Then a poor widow came and dropped in two small coins. Jesus called His disciples to Himself and said, I tell you the truth, this poor widow has given more than all the others who are making contributions. For they gave a tiny part of their surplus, but she, poor as she is, has given everything she had to live on. So no matter where you are this morning, no matter where you are financially, I believe that there is a part of this woman's story that you can resonate with and a part that you can learn from. So for this woman, what she gave equates to us about $1.50 to $3 is about what she gave, okay? So if you are in this room and you think, I have a little, I have less than everybody else sitting around me, okay? You can resonate with this woman. You can see yourself in this woman's story. You can learn from her. You can see that Jesus celebrates when you live generously, when you take that risk. That you can see that Jesus isn't concerned about the amount. Instead, what He's concerned with is a willing heart. And so if you're sitting here and you're thinking, I have so little, I'm barely getting by every single month, you can look at the story of this woman and see that Jesus is concerned with one thing, a willing heart to live open-handed. Now, if you're sitting here and you're thinking, I've got more than probably most of the people in this room, and you might look at this woman's story and say, I don't know that I can resonate with her story, I think you can. I think that, now most of us are in the top 10% of the world. If we're in the middle class, upper middle class, or above, we fall into the top 10% financially in the world. And I believe that you and I, we can be challenged by this woman because we can see that Jesus celebrates her for giving everything that she has to Him. For those of us that may have more than others, here's what Jesus wants. He wants to expand our generosity. He wants to expand our trust in him. If you're sitting here and you don't have a lot, I would just add this encouragement. Don't wait until you have more money to give. Don't wait until you have more money to give because you'll never have enough. This is how money works. This is what it looks like to be enslaved to money. It's to say, I'll give when, and that when will never come because you always need more. The third thing that will help you become more generous with your finances is this. Ask God how much you should give. No one else can tell you what you should give. It doesn't happen in the New Testament. Ask God what you should give. Now, here's a good principle to live by. Give something, at least something. Start living generously with your finances, even if it feels like a little, and that little might feel like a lot to some of us. Paul says this in 2 Corinthians. He says, you must each decide in your own heart how much to give. And don't give reluctantly or in response to pressure, for God loves a person who gives cheerfully. And he goes on in verse 8 and he says, and God will generously provide all you need. Then you will always have everything you need and plenty left over to share with others. So this week, as you're making your spending plan, as you start with generosity, sit down with God and ask him, what do you want me to give? Fourth, the fourth thing that'll help you become more generous with your finances is give to the things that Jesus cares about. Now, Jesus cares about a lot, but there are two things that I am sure that he cares about that are relevant to our conversation today. Number one is his church. He cares about his church. He started his church and it came out of him. He cares about it and he wants us to care about it as well. In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 12, Paul says this, and these are some reasons that I give, Nicole and I give to One Life Church. Here are some reasons. Paul says, so two good things will result from this ministry of giving. The needs of the believers in Jerusalem will be met and they will joyfully express their thanks to God. So one of the reasons I give to One Life Church is when I give to this church, I trust that that money will be used to minister to the people of One Life Church, that this church will create environments where people can experience love, belonging, purpose, and where they can learn to follow Jesus in their everyday life. So that's the first reason that I give to the church that Jesus cares about. The second reason I give to this church is because I believe that the church is God's plan A to bring heaven to earth. It is God's plan A to advance the good news of Jesus. And I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of the advancement of the good news of Jesus into the world and into our community, into families, into your life. I want to give to that purpose. The third reason that I give to this church that Jesus cares about, Paul names in 1 Corinthians 9. He says, in the same way, the Lord ordered that those who preach the good news should be supported by those who benefit from it. I give to One Life Church because I believe that we have a ministry staff here of people who believe they have been called into ministry. And I give to this place so that their needs can be taken care of. Paul says that those who have been called into full-time ministry should be taken care of by the church of Jesus. And so when we give on a month-to-month basis, I do that because I want the needs of our ministry staff to be taken care of. So Jesus cares about his church. Second thing that I know Jesus cares about is the least of these. He cares about the least of these. He says in Matthew 25, then the king will say to those on his right, come, you who are blessed by my Father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the creation of the world. For I was hungry and you fed me. I was thirsty and you gave me a drink. I was a stranger and you invited me into your home. I was naked and you gave me clothing. I was sick and you cared for me. I was in prison and you visited me. The second thing that we want to give to The second thing that Jesus cares about is the least of these. Let me tell you a story about how your financial partnership with One Life has been given to the least of these in the last month. A couple weeks ago, I got a phone call from one of the principals at Winecoff Elementary. Crystal Allen and I have been working with their staff, and we have said to them, make our church one of your first calls whenever you have a need. And so the principal called me and said, we have a father and a son, and they need a roof over their head. They're in a really tough time where they don't have a place to stay. The dad has lost his job because he couldn't pay the car payments because he was trying to get his son to school. The son can't come to school because you know the vicious cycle, right? And so she said, they just need a place to stay, and we're trying to work through all the details of how to find him a job and find a car and all those things. But we were wondering, could your church pay for a week at a hotel? And I said, it's done. It's done. And she said, excuse me? I said, it's done. Tell me how. And she said, well, I think you need to go to the hotel. Okay. So I went to the hotel over on Highway 29, walked in, reserved a room for this father and this son, and our church paid the bill. Your tithes, your giving, your financial partnership made it possible for us to love and bless and care for the least of these in our community. The fifth and final thing that will help you become more generous with your finances is you gotta have a plan for how you will give. How you will give. And I wanna give you a few ideas that have been used by followers of Jesus throughout history. And you don't have to use all these. You can pick and choose. Maybe one stands out to you today. The first is an Old Testament concept called first fruits. And this is the idea that as a farmer, you would have the first part of your harvest come in and you would give that first harvest back to God as a reminder that everything that is planted, everything that is grown, everything that has been harvested comes from God. And so for Nicole and I, we use this concept. We are paid and the first fruits of our payment comes out and we are generous with that first fruits of what God has provided for us. So that's one idea that you can use. Another idea is something called a blessing fund. You can have this at home. You can have a cup at home or a box at home. You can have an envelope in your car. And instead of that trip to Starbucks on Friday, you take that $5 or $14, whatever it is, and you put it in your envelope in your car. And you do that every Friday. And what you're doing with that money is you're anticipating that God is going to give you an opportunity to be generous with that blessing fund. And so if it's somebody that needs somebody to pay for a tank of gas, or they need a meal, or they need a hotel room, you have that blessing fund set aside and you are expecting that God is going to give you an opportunity to be generous with that blessing fund. This is a great way to get your kids involved in generosity with your finances. The next idea is what is called the tithe. This is also an Old Testament concept. The word tithe comes from the Hebrew word that means a tenth. And there's a lot of debate about whether this Old Testament practice is actually supported by Jesus. But I would just say this. Jesus actually asks you for everything. That's what he asks you for. And so the tithe, the tenth of your income, is actually just a great baseline for practicing generosity with everything that God has given you and everything that God wants from you. Does that make sense? So the tithe is a great baseline to start from. The next idea is what's called a graduated tithe. For those in the room that you are doing really well financially and you make a lot of money, this can be a great idea for you. The idea is that I'm going to challenge myself that every year I'm going to live on a little less and give away a little bit more. So if this year I'm giving away 10% and I'm living on 90%, I'm going to challenge myself that next year I'm gonna live on 89% and I'm gonna give away 11%. In hopes that there will be a time in your life when you will wake up and you will give away 80% and you will live on 20%. There are people who have done this. There are stories of people like Rick Warren, who is a retired pastor out of California. And his story is that he and his wife now live on 20% and give away 80%. And it's a continuous reminder every year. All of this that I have comes from God, and it all belongs to Him. The last idea that you can use to organize your giving is this idea of resisting materialism. This is the idea that somebody said one time, people should look at the lives of Christians and think that they make less than they do. They shouldn't look at the lives of Christians and say, man, do they make more than I thought they made? Instead, they should look at our lives and say, they must make less than they do because we have become so generous with what God has given us, and we have decided to live on what we need. All right. Everybody okay? All right, good. I'm going to give you 2 minutes to have this conversation. Out of the 5 things that I just shared, which ones do you currently practice? Which ones do you not practice? Or which one would you like to start practicing? You've got 2 minutes. Ready, set, go. All right. I should have given you a warning at the beginning that this was going to be longer than usual. I've already warned the kids' life team, so your kids are fine, all right? But we're about to land the plane, I promise. So let's go back to the very beginning and the financial update that I gave you. So our goal is to increase our monthly offering, where our monthly offering in January was about $18,000. And our goal is to see that increase to $23,000. That's not just a goal, but it is a need. It's a need that needs to happen in the next 90 days. And I believe that is possible. I believe that's possible. For all things are possible, right? For those who are in Christ Jesus. Now, here's how you can help bridge that gap. Number one, if you are currently giving to One Life Church, I want to sincerely tell you thank you. Thank you. Thank you for your sacrifice. Thank you for your generosity. Thank you for your commitment and your love of this church family. Your giving does not go unnoticed. Your sacrificial giving, it makes a tremendous difference for our church family and in our community. Now, if you are able, I want you to please consider increasing your monthly contribution. Now listen, even if that is just $10 a month, to expand that part of you to trust God a little bit more. Even if it's $10, it can mean so much because every little bit will help us work together to fill the gap. If you do not currently give, I want to encourage you to start today. Don't wait. Start today. Take that risk. One Life Church has made a positive impact in your life. And I ask you to invest in the future of this ministry so that we can continue making a difference in the lives of others like you. Now, I understand, I get it, that giving is a big step. But I want to ask you to trust the leadership of this church and invest in the church that you have come to love. You don't have to fill the gap on your own. If you can, awesome. But you don't have to. You don't have to. But together, I believe that we can. The third thing for all of us, I'm going to ask you to pray. This week, I'm going to ask you to commit this to prayer. I invite you to pray with us for provision. Pray that God will send new families to One Life Church who love it just like we do. Pray that our financial sacrifices will enable us to continue our mission of bringing heaven to earth. So there's something for all of us to do. We can all do a little bit of something to help bridge this gap.